It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are continuing our five-part series talking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. During the first 3 weeks, we heard from Supervisors Randy Hanvelt, Carl Rotifer, and Evan Royce. And today we're very pleased to be joined in studio by District 1 Supervisor Sherry Brennan, who represents District 1. Good morning, Supervisor Brennan.
Good morning, BJ.
First off, for those who aren't familiar, District 1, where does it all cover?
So people think of it as the greater Sonora area, but actually my district, if you go out up Highway 49, down Parrott's Ferry Road, behind the college, up Big Hill Road, and then if you shoot right down Big Hill Road through the middle of Phoenix Lake, a line comes down basically right at the golf course, circles back out to Mono Way and back around.
So specific to District 1 first, are any road projects or infrastructure projects you're keeping your eyes on?
So we're all happy about the opening of the new cancer center, and that was a huge project. And what was accomplished with the Greenlee Road intersection, that was a large project, and we're glad that they're open and running and things are moving along. In the near future, probably the largest project that will be happening is the new T intersection that will be at the junction of Highway 1 and Parrott's Ferry. That I believe is slated to start early 2019. And they're currently now doing some work on 108, or not 108, I'm sorry, Highway 49 north of town. And so that's currently happening in the evenings. But the larger project at the intersection will be happening next spring. So
I want to ask you a little bit about the Donnell Fire. When the Board of Supervisors approved the emergency declaration, you were the lone supervisor absent, but it's because you were physically on the ground up by the fire. So I'd love to hear kind of, you know, how you kind of got involved with the Donnell Fire, what you witnessed, and kind of take us to the early period to the end.
Yeah, well, the Donnell Fire is still burning up there, as even though it's, I believe, 92% contained today, there is still some light burning going on, and that's the kind of burning that actually is beneficial to the forest. Unfortunately, what we saw in the early days of that fire were catastrophic. And so my family has the Eagle Meadow cattle allotment. And if folks are familiar with the Highway 108 corridor, Eagle Meadows is right directly, it would just be directly south of Donnell Vista. And so we were up there, we were working when the fire first started that weekend. And we were watching it very closely. We were in communication with the agency, and there was a lot of belief that it would be held just the boundary just outside of what is the Donnell Lake Basin area. Unfortunately, as we all know, it blew up, and when it came out with a lot of fury, and immediately started devouring country. It went to a crown fire, and the end total, I believe, was 34,900 acres that were severely burned. You're right, I did miss that Tuesday board meeting because I was up there working very intensely on behalf of our ranch and property owners that were up there. There is some private property up there. There's also some beloved areas like Kennedy Meadows, which has it's a tremendous attraction for our county, as well as the campgrounds that are along the river there. So early on, actually, I came out, I believe it was on Sunday evening, and it was about 10:30 at night, and was in immediate contact with Craig Pedro, and he was then in contact with Chief White, and we went to an unprecedented place, which was to put county assets immediately onto those properties that had interest, you know, for the county, the private properties, as well as Kennedy Meadows. And then we did the emergency declaration that Tuesday. So we just jumped out there because there were assets were tight for the agency, and this thing was moving at a very rapid pace, and we wanted to do everything that we could to protect the private properties that were in the way of this fire.
Going to that unified command, it seems like that's when the corner really started to turn to try to get a handle on the devastating fire.
Yeah, well, a lot of things happen with fire management. Again, I'd say we got lucky with some changing weather conditions. The winds tamped down. We had our resources up there assisting. The feds were able to bring in some aircraft and some other a number of other resources to fight that piece of it. And so a number of things came together to really slow that down.
Had to be devastating, I assume, seeing, you know, Dardanelle Resorts and all those, the fire heading that direction.
Yeah, we were actually, our family was actually on the bluff just above it, and I've got some photographs that are really telling, and very, when you look at them, they really are emotional, because, you know, we were watching at that moment when Dardanelles was going up, and we knew what was happening, and it was very, very, it was a turning point for us where we said that, you know, we've got to get cattle moved, we've got to get other assets up here, and I would say that I haven't talked to friends that were on the north side, but I know that there were a couple of permittees from Calaveras County that were heavily impacted out of the Clark's Fork area, and so I'm hoping that their losses have been minimized, but we'll be in contact with them as things move forward here.
Do you know how much cattle was lost in the fire?
So I don't. Again, I haven't heard. I know that for the two ranchers on the north side, they were hit the hardest, and they were moving cattle through. They were moving up through the Carson Iceberg area, trying to get to safety. Again, we were moving south and moving through towards the immigrant area, and so I have not heard numbers yet. I know that some of the losses that were sustained were really from smoke and pneumonia. I know we had two calves that we lost to those conditions, and so, but I have not reached out to the other permittees to know what losses they sustained.
Having just witnessed the Dardanelles fire as well as the Rim fire 5 years ago, it seems like you're kind of the supervisor that the other board members lean on when natural resource issues come to the table for the supervisors. What do you see as kind of the big challenges right now and just things that need to be addressed looking ahead when it comes to our forest around us?
Yeah, Tuolumne County really has been leading on that effort, and it's been a very unified effort from our board, and so we're fortunate in that. We have these conversations, and then we move pieces forward. But we've got to really be strategic in how we plan going forward, and we started that this year in working with different partners with the Master Stewardship Agreement. There is going to be a lot of money put forward for forest health and forest management. And I'd point to the proposition that was on the June ballot, June 5th. And that actually, that proposition passed. And there's $55 million in that for Sierra Nevada forest health that will be administered through the Sierra Nevada Conservancy. As they're updating their strategic plan, they are really looking for places. We need to be very thoughtful and strategic in how we're spending this money. Tuolumne County has been looking at that. We are ahead on the curve because we've been doing some things with our partners to look strategically, how do we get the most for actually fire protection, healthy forest, community protection, economic development, and the widest diversity for species. So looking at that strategically, and I would give you an example. We recently were awarded a CAL FIRE grant, and we're going to be doing the flyover that actually will give us the, and I'm sorry, I'm having a momentary brain lapse here, the strategic, it gives you a picture of the landscape, and then you can do things by layers, and so it will help us really in our planning processes moving forward. And so we need to be doing those things so that when we actually put projects on the ground, there is a line of defense that makes sense. And so I would say when we look at the Stanislaus River drainage, very concerned about the fires that could break out in that drainage. And so how do we protect that corridor? And LIDAR was the word I was looking for earlier. I apologize, but we're going to be doing LIDAR of the entire county. That is going to help give us a map, if you will, or help create a roadway on how to be strategic when we go after these dollars. And really, when these dollars are allocated, they're going to be looking for those kinds of projects. They're going to be looking for how are we doing things on a larger scale that will have implications as we connect the dots so that we can provide for forest health, community stability, and actually some watershed protection.
Sounds like great steps. Is that going to be enough, or will there be more that needs to happen down the road?
There will be more. It won't be enough. And we're looking at some money that was appropriated also by Senate, signed by the governor in his budget this year, that will be dollars spent for across the state. And so all of the 58 counties will be competing for that. I'm sure we will be looking at a piece of that. There will be money through the Carbon Action Plan. But there's a tremendous amount of work out there, and we need to be looking cross boundaries, especially when we look at a county where we're 78% public land. We know fires don't respect boundaries, and we have to be looking across those when we're talking about how we're going to be defensive in this and start really working towards that offensive plan that puts us in a posture so that we are better defended.
Need to take a break. We're talking with Supervisor Sherry Brennan on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. In the midst of our five-part series talking with the individual supervisors, Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll be back with our second segment in just a minute.